RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week. Our Northeast correspondents are Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, the co-hosts of the RV Family Travel Atlas and Campground of the Week podcasts, and the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations. Welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Thank you so much. It's good to be back.
It's good to be back, and we've sent all those correspondents packing on their summer vacation, haven't we?
Yeah, so we got to step in, but that's okay because we're on our summer vacations and we're visiting some campgrounds.
And we're podcasting from the road.
We are. This is our first time back in the RV FTA RV studio, aka
the front storage bin.
I hate it when you say that. It's the master bedroom.
There's nothing master about this bedroom.
All right. Well, last time on episode number 26, we reviewed James Island County Park near Charleston, South Carolina. Where are we going to this week?
We are going to Atlantic Oaks Campground in Eastham, in Massachusetts, on Cape Cod, and it is one of our favorites. It's our second time there, and we really recommend this campground.
All right, so we're going to tell you everything you need to know about the campground, but first, we want to thank our sponsor, Progressive Insurance. Your RV is very different from your car, which is exactly why you need specialized RV insurance coverage instead of insuring under your auto policy. With specialized coverages, you're even more protected on the road. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit Progressive.com slash RV today for more info.
I want my coverage to be special.
Of course you do. That's why we have Progressive as sponsors. They think we're special.
And we think they're special too. Yeah. So where is the location of Atlantic Oaks Campground on Cape Cod?
Sure. So for people not very familiar with sort of the geography of the Cape, right? The Cape is about 90 miles southeast of Boston in Massachusetts. So traditionally this is like the Great Escape, right? For, you know, people who live in the areas surrounding Boston. So Cape Cod looks almost like a backward L, all right? It first comes out of the mainland extending east-west, and then it curves up and does like sort of a spit north to south, okay? Ending up at Provincetown, famous Provincetown, where the Pilgrims first landed.
Right. And Eastham is about 20-minute drive to Provincetown. So I believe people call it the Upper Cape. So Eastham is past a lot of the hubbub when you first come onto the Cape. And it's a relatively quiet area to some degree or another. I mean, there's a lot to do around there, but both times we've been there, we were kind of impressed by how mellow it was as well.
Sure. Eastham is definitely towards the southern end of that little stretch of land that extends up north to Provincetown. So you more of your touristy, busy areas are located in that east-west strip. You might
because it's closer to the mainland.
Exactly. Easier to get to, less of a haul. Eastham is about 25 miles from Hyannis, which people might be familiar with as one of those towns on the Cape. Now, the thing is, you mentioned that it was quiet I think that's true, but it's all relative, right?
Well, we're from the Jersey Shore. So for a Jersey Shore guy who grew up in the busy, busy Jersey Shore, yes, it's quiet to me. But somebody else coming there might actually be like, oh, my God, there's a lot of traffic here. So, good point.
And people famously complain about the traffic and how busy it is on the Cape. And that's all very true. And especially if you go during peak season. But we've sort of found that if you visit before the 4th of July, it's actually this like perfect time to visit because the crowds haven't quite descended as much. And yet at the same time, you're still enjoying summer weather.
Yeah, we really have hit a sweet spot. So we went two years ago and we just went recently. And both times we went right after school got out for us, and we literally like left the next day. So we were there like the last week in June, and you don't even have to pay or have a permit to get on the bay beaches yet, for instance. Like that starts like the Saturday after we leave always. So it's if you can get there in June, Stephanie makes a great point. Get there in June, you'll experience a much less crowded version of Cape Cod. We don't even know what it's like mid-July because we haven't been there.
Right. And you don't want to go too early, though, too. You have family there, and your aunt famously tells us that there's no spring in Cape Cod, right? You go right from winter to summer. So if you go too early in the season,
could be really
you're very
cold.
Likely to get that gray, rainy, sort of miserable spring weather. So, you know, it's just, you definitely want to be there during the warm summer weather. So don't try to go there in May and think you're going to have this great, like, summer vacation.
Yeah. And in terms of weather, you have the Cape Cod Bay on the west side, and you have the Atlantic Ocean on the east side. And the Atlantic Ocean's pretty cold in Cape Cod, even in the summer. I mean, my uncle told me that it could get up to 70 degrees, maybe 72 degrees for like an hour, you know, and then it starts to go back down. Where at the Jersey Shore, it can stay in the low 70s all summer. So the ocean's cold. And when we were there, it was 58 degrees. That's what we saw up at the National Seashore. So there wasn't really people swimming up there, plus lots of shark issues on the Cape. Mm-hmm. But the Cape Cod Bay beaches, I would say the water there was around 70 degrees. It was lovely for swimming.
Oh, absolutely. You can just jump right in.
It might have been 74.
So now that we kind of like have situated you in Cape Cod, this one of the most famous beach destinations really in our whole country. I mean, it just has such a history of being that like beach resort kind of location.
A classic place for a family adventure, for a summer vacation.
Let's talk more about the campground itself. All right. What kind of campground is this?
It's a good sand park. So you're going to get your 10% discount there. It's privately owned. And the owner is a little bit older, and his son has taken over as the manager, and he's doing an awesome job. And his name was
Dan,
mm-hmm. and his wife was Katie. And they were just doing a lovely job running the campground. So it's a private family-run campground. They own two campgrounds on Cape Cod. The other one's Shady Knoll, which we have not been to. But Atlantic Oaks to us is pretty much a classic family campground. It's perfect to explore the Cape for a whole variety of reasons.
Yeah, this campground has actually been around, I think, since the 1920s.
Now, this family, I think, took over maybe in the 60s, but this has been a campground since the 1920s, before there was electricity and sewer on the Cape. So there's a lot of history here at Atlantic Oaks.
And I feel like it feels like a campground from the 60s, in that it really is a smaller campground. It has about 80 sites in it, okay? And it has all of the comforts that sort of people always have wanted for RV travel, but it doesn't have the bells and whistles of sort of these modern resort campgrounds.
And nor does it need to have them. And I think Stephanie agrees with me on this, because its location is premier. So the campground is on the simple side, and I almost mean that as a compliment. I don't want all of those things when I'm going to Cape Cod. I'm not going all the way out to Cape Cod to have those kinds of crazy amenities. So the campground, there are full hookup sites. There's water, electric, and sewer sites there. They're $65 a night, which I think is a very fair price for being in such a premier location. Now, 2 years ago when we went, they were like $45 a night, which was like a ridiculous bargain. And I remember thinking at the time, like, this place is incredible, how cheap it is. But it was $65 a night. Now, you can get that 10% Good Sam discount. There's no pool there, but we don't care, because you have the ocean on one side, you have the bay beaches on the other. There is a simple playground. Dan and Katie are looking to make a lot of improvements, and they mentioned that a new playground might be on the way. They just added a really lovely dog park, making it a bit more of a dog-friendly campground. Lots of room for Maggie to run around there. And what other things, what other amenities did the campground have that are worth mentioning?
Well, like I said, I mean, I think that things are very simple, but are very usable. Like, it had the dated playground, like you said. Hopefully they'll update that soon. The basketball court, it wasn't a paved ground. It was like a sandy bottom. But then at the same time, our boys played there
for hours.
Yeah. And so one of my first thoughts when we were there and we had gone to the playground and the boys started to play with the basketball hoop and everything, I was like, you know what? When I'm on that sort of classic beach vacation, I actually prefer to have less, because I want to feel like you're lazing around during the day at the beach. You're coming home, you're all salty, and you know, you're showering, and then you're like, you know, the kids are playing and you're sitting in your chair reading. And I did do a lot of reading at this campground, and I really felt that it took us in, you know, into that kind of a space. Now, having said that, it also has very clean bathrooms and shower facilities. It has a dishwashing station outside that was kept very nice and neat.
Clean. This right. campground is really immaculately clean.
The laundry facilities were very good. I used them. They worked very nicely. You know, like, did that laundry before
we left. They were actually
we
lovely. Like, you could sit there and read a book while you did your laundry.
Yeah. A well-stocked camp store.
The camp store is incredibly nice. The camp store is the building that the camp store is in is a relatively newer building. Very well-stocked campground store for a campground of this size. All the little snacks and treats you need, some RV supplies as well. And then next to it, there's a really nice lounge, like an incredibly comfortable lounge, almost like a hotel-like lounge with couches, a television. There's magazines spread out, information about the Cape. On a rainy night, you could go in there. There's checkers for the kids. I mean, you could really spend time in there if the weather turned bad on you, or if you were there in an elbow season when it was a little bit cold. So that was a really, really nice room. And then there's a game room behind it. And, you know, we have always mixed feelings about game rooms with our kids, but this was a really nice one. It had air hockey. It had some of the vintage campground signs, I think, from their past in there. Overall, a really nice central welcoming facility when you come in. Almost like
it had
a welcoming
ping pong table that you could get the paddles from the desk and just kind of use them. So there were options for more games as opposed to just the arcade, you know, video games, which is always kind of a pet peeve of mine. Now, it also had gated entry, which we like.
I always like a gated entry. So it's a very secure facility. It's in a really nice part of Cape Cod and kind of like a really, you know, really upscale neighborhood
now,
on the Cape.
You mentioned the price. You said that these were $65, but booking. So this is one of the most popular beach vacation destinations on the East Coast. So you do have to book in advance.
We booked this in October. Now, did I need to book it in October? I don't know.
Right.
I mean, if I had tried to book this in April or May, I don't know that I would have gotten a site. The campground did look full to me while we were there. There were not a lot of empty sites.
So I would say that if you're planning on going from in July or August, you absolutely need to book, you know, the in advance in the fall.
Oh, if you want to go to Cape Cod, you book in the fall.
But
winter at the latest.
If you're going during the shoulder seasons of like earlier June or September, I really do think you have more flexibility. You could probably nab a last minute spot.
Absolutely.
Now, one of our very favorite amenities, we're going to call it an amenity that we hadn't mentioned before, is really the reason why we love this campground more than almost any other campground that we could possibly imagine staying at, which is its direct bike path access.
Yeah, to the Cape Cod bike trail. It just takes this campground over the top in every single way. So if your family likes to ride bikes or you like to ride bikes, you literally hop on your bike right outside of your RV. You scoot down your row, whether you're on Flounder Street or Gull Lane or Haddock Lane, and you just head right back onto the Cape Cod bike trail. So if you head left, you're heading towards Provincetown. If you head right, you're heading towards Orleans. And this Cape Cod bike trail runs the length of Cape Cod, and it is lovely. And then it also connects to the bike trail up at the National Seashore, which we're going to talk about when we come back after the break. So that the fact that the bike trail is right next to the campground, you do not have to cross the street. You don't have to not go across a highway. You don't have to put your bikes in the back of your truck and drive. It is right there. It just makes this campground amazing. It makes it very special.
Yeah, and you can access a lot of the places in Eastham, or like the very first morning we rode bikes to Beanstalk Coffee, which we'll talk about later. You can go right to the little delis or the little stores or some of the restaurants. You can go right to Arnold's and
get
off the bike.
Right to mini golf.
There are so many things that you can ride your bikes to on that bike path and not have to worry about, you know, the highway and traffic.
And if you're a serious biker, I mean, you can go for miles and miles and miles and see most of the Cape. And when you drive around Cape Cod, you see bike groups. You see 20 people on their bikes stopping for lunch, stopping for lobster rolls, stopping for ice cream at the different places along the Cape. So the bike trail just makes Cape Cod special in general, and then it makes Atlantic Oaks really special.
Yeah, and you know, and you said, like, you know, no matter how much you're biking on it. Well, and that's going to change, because a couple of years ago, we probably managed to eke out 2 miles out of the boys. They were in training wheels, you know, and we did a little bit of a ride, but we couldn't go too far. We had to be careful that they could get back. This time, in one day, we definitely did over 10 miles between a couple of different bike rides.
Oh, we had wonderful bike rides with our 7-year-old boys, and then Wesley's on the back of your bike on the Thule. And, you know, bike riding is one of our favorite family activities, and this makes this campground just a premier spot for us as a family.
All right, so another thing I wanted to mention was the Wi-Fi strength was stronger this time than it had been the last time we were there. So I don't know if they added in another booster. It is not lightning fast. You're going to wait if you're uploading something or anything like that. But it was like slow and steady. I could get on all the time. I could get any of the information I needed on the internet, and I was, you know, able to do what I needed to
do. I wouldn't be surprised if they improved that, because I really think Dan and Katie are looking to step by step make this, you know, make this great campground an even greater campground.
Yeah. So there are no activities at this campground. Right.
Yeah, and nor look, if there were activities, we wouldn't have been there to do them.
No,
we,
not interested.
We wake, when we're on Cape Cod, we wake up and we go. And we come back at night and we go to bed and we rest. And we don't spend much time at the campground when we're in Cape Cod. There's so much to do. There's dozens and dozens of amazing things to do. I just want to situate people a tiny little bit more, too. You're half a mile from the National Seashore when you're in Atlantic Oaks. You're 25 miles from Provincetown. You're just up the road from Beanstalk Coffee Roasters. There's a million things to do right around here. The location could not be better.
And they do offer plenty of tent sites if you're not an RVer. So, and I think that the tent sites really are quite charming and nicely laid out.
I would be happy to tent camp here. You know, there is the road right out there, Route 6, which is not that loud. But the tent sites are tucked away a little bit. They're shaded. They're woody. I would be more than happy to tent camp at Atlantic Oaks.
Now, insider details. I'm going to say mine, and then you can, you know, add anything extra that you want. But I want to say that last time we really loved our site, but we didn't like the location, because all of the traffic in the campground sort of funnels into one single exit row. Okay? So every car in the campground, you have to go down your one-way street, and then you go out, you know, a one-way street.
Atlantic Avenue is the one way. So all of the streets dump back onto Atlantic Avenue. So the sites were nice on Atlantic Avenue, but it was a hub for traffic with air quotes around it.
No, well, I actually felt my one biggest complaint about the campground at that time was I actually felt like not only was there a lot of the traffic passing by, but people were driving too quickly. I really felt that that was a problem for me at the campground. I felt like people were coming around that curve and it made me nervous. And I thought, you know, I don't want to stay at that site. Well, this time we stayed in an interior row with Cedar Lane. We stayed on, and it was a really nice site. And, you know, there was hardly any traffic passing by our campground. But I have to say, I feel like I noticed a change in the campground in general, because there were no cars buzzing around. I was a little nervous about the traffic when we were there the last time. And this time, I never once saw a car that I felt was kicking up dust or going too fast.
Yeah, that's interesting that you said that, because I didn't think about it till just now when you said it. The campground was really quiet and mellow this time. It was just like a nice group of people staying on the campground.
So I would avoid Atlantic Avenue if you have kids and you want to stay.
Yeah, and any other one is fine.
But every other one is one way, so it's only the people that are staying on that road that are going to be passing on that road, and it really keeps a pretty quiet area. So that's my insider tip.
I'm going to have to go with this. Stephanie might get mad at me. I think my favorite coffee roaster in America is about half a mile from the campground, and you can ride your bike there on the Cape Cod Bike Trail, and it's Beanstalk Coffee Roasters, and it's actually their roastery. It's not a coffee shop, so it's in a little bit of an industrial building, but it's easy to get to if you ask for directions. It's right off the bike trail, and basically they throw the garage door open in the morning, and you can walk in, and they have free samples of their wonderful coffee, and they have like 20 to 30 different types of coffees, all kinds of amazing blends, and you can watch them roasting the coffee and buy as many bags as you want. So to me, when I think Atlantic Oaks, I think Beanstalk Coffee. It's such a special treat for me when I'm staying at Atlantic Oaks to make at least three trips to Beanstalk Coffee, get my morning cup there, and buy a whole bunch of bags. And I bought 6 bags of coffee for the rest of this trip.
All right. So we love Atlantic Oaks Campground in Eastham, Massachusetts, on the Cape. But we know that nobody's perfect. Okay. So my one thing that I would really like to see changed at this campground is I would love them to put in some concrete pads or something to minimize the sandy dust bowl effect. I love a scrubby beach campground. I'm a beach girl at heart. I was born with sand between my toes. I have no problem with that. But it really can get very dust bowly, especially if it's been dry and it can have that like dirt quality to it mixed with the sand. So I was thinking if they could do some concrete pads, it would give you a little bit of a break from that at your campground.
And would you be willing to pay a little more per site for those?
Wow, I don't know. Upgrades are upgrades.
Specific sites, though, and not everyone has that concrete pad.
They could put it in every site. You know, the sites are all pull-throughs. They're all generally very similar sites.
Right.
So I think that you could just put that concrete pad in there, like, and you would have it as you walked out your RV. You could have your shoe
for when you're
cooking
and hanging out outside the site. Just a little bit less kind of dirty feeling, beach camping feeling right outside of your own site.
Yep. Yeah, so that's my one thing that I'd like to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Dan said they're looking to put in a new playground. That would be my one thing. And I have to say, the kids played at this playground nonstop.
Yeah, they
not one of them walked up and said, I want a modern playground. And that's the thing sometimes with playgrounds. It's like the adults that look at it and go, oh, they need a new playground. But the kids had a blast over there, and partly because the dog park was there, so we could bring Maggie for a walk, we could shoot baskets. But they have a nice spot over there for a better playground, so I would love to see them put it in.
Yeah, there was a little sandbox there, and Wesley was over there playing with the trucks in the sandbox. And you know what? They're just having a good time.
And he needed a bath single night.
Yeah, well, that's my dust bowl effect thing.
Yeah. Character from Peanuts who's always like the cloud of Pigpen. That was Wesley this past week.
Yeah. All right.
The last thing I would say about Atlantic Oaks is both years that we've gone, 2 years ago we stayed for 5 nights, I think, and we didn't want to leave. You know, we wanted to stay for another 5 nights. We wanted to spend 2 weeks on Cape Cod. To me, it's not a stopover. It's not a long weekend. It's a destination that you should just soak up and enjoy for all it's worth. And this time we stayed 4 nights. And at the end, I was like, why did I only schedule 4 nights here? I would really like to go back for a longer stretch of time, at least 7 days, and hopefully even next summer.
Yeah, I think so. I think that it's one of those places that if there is a place that we would like to return to year after year in that sort of tradition of the family vacation, I honestly think after our second time here, this is the place. We love it there. And we are so happy when we go and we visit. And it just feels like, in a way, like we've come home, because it's the beach, which we're so attracted to and attached to just as shore people in general. But then it also has this amazing, you know, culture and surrounding area that we're going to talk to more.
Yeah, when we get back, you're going to get, you know, after the break, you're going to get a real sense for why Stephanie and I have absolutely fallen head over heels for Cape Cod, because of all the things to do in the area, all the culture, all the great food. Would you take Cape Cod over Acadia?
not a comparison.
Not fair.
I won't compare those two. I'll take it over the Outer Banks, though. That's what I said when we were here.
Yeah, that's
this
interesting.
Time.
We Stephanie and I grew up going to the Outer Banks over and over again. Over 12 or 15 times we've been to the Outer Banks for family vacations, solo vacations. I've been there for guys surf trips. I've probably done the Outer Banks 20 times over the course of 20 plus years. And yeah, I'll take Cape Cod every time. It's just a magnificent, magnificent location.
All right, stay tuned.
Generations of family fun. It's what Jayco's founder, Lloyd Bontrager, set out to provide nearly 50 years ago when he started the company on the family farm in 1968.
Today, Jayco, the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, is still focused on providing a way for families to create lasting memories.
From camping trailers to gas Class A motorhomes and everything in between, you'll find that Jayco offers the most standard features and the best warranty in the industry, giving you the value you want and the peace of mind you deserve.
Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We just gave you a really great review of Atlantic Oaks Campground in Eastham, Massachusetts, which is on Cape Cod, of course. And now we want to talk regional highlights. And there are so many things to do in this area. I want to remind everybody that back when we were young and green on episode 4 of the RV Family Travel Atlas podcast, we did a Cape Cod adventure guide. And actually, I know at least about 5 people who, after listening to that, did a Cape Cod vacation. So please go back to that for even more info on Cape Cod. There's just so much to talk about, and Stephanie and I can't squeeze it all in here, but we're going to run through our absolute favorites. So the National Seashore and the Salt Pond Visitor Center, half mile from the campground, easy to ride your bike to that. It's a great visitor center. There's hiking there, there's education there, there's exhibits there, there are rangers there you can get advice and tips from. But also, if you either park in that parking lot or ride your bike over to that parking lot, there is a gorgeous, gorgeous bike trail that goes all the way up to the beach. And it's one of my, I think it's my favorite bike ride I've ever been on in my life.
Yeah, and we did it last time without the kids. And this time we brought the kids along. And it takes you right down to Coast Guard Beach. So this path just really meanders through these beautiful, you know, like woods and everything. But it's really fun because it kind of does these very soft hills, you know, so you're going up and down and up and down the whole time.
And for Max and Theo, it hit the sweet spot because they got just enough speed going that they were flying and having fun, but then they're going back up the hill and sort of naturally braking. So they never, I don't think there maybe was one point where I felt like, oh, that's really steep, they better be careful. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the time, it was just like really fun and racy and speedy for them, and just an amazing family bike ride. And it goes through some different terrain. It goes through some like deeply wooded terrain. And 2 years ago, we saw a fox dart in front of our path. And then it kind of comes up through some salt marshes, right? And mm-hmm. over a bridge. So you're looking at salt marshes on the right. And then eventually you come up right to the National Seashore. There's a place you can lock up your bike. And we walked right down onto the beach. And there were seals all over the place, mm-hmm. right on the ocean. And that, I mean, what a payoff for a family bike ride to end up at the beach in Cape Cod on a gorgeous night.
Yeah. And there's also the Junior Ranger program that you can do right there at the National Seashore Visitor Center. Get the schedule for that and figure out if you're going to participate in that. That's a half a mile away from the campground. It really should be one of your first stops just so that you can take advantage of whatever you want to do there while, you know, at the beginning. Look at the schedule ahead of time to get, you know, to get involved in any of the programs.
Yeah, there's a lot going on at the Cape Cod National Seashore. Now, as the beaches are windswept and beautiful and romantic in Cape Cod, but as much as we love those beaches, we love the bay beaches even more because we have young kids, and the bay beaches are they're like made by God for young children to splash and enjoy and play. So the ones we recommend. First Encounter, that's the one we've been to the most. Perfect place to bring the kids for swimming, kayaking, and it is a nice sandy beach. I mean, it feels like you're at an ocean beach, except it's just perfectly calm, right? And then also Campground Beach and Rock Harbor. And you need to be there at low tide. At low tide, it becomes a magical place for children because there's like a dip of water, then a sandbar. Dips down into
They're
water.
They're called the tidal flats.
Tidal
right?
flats. And we counted 9 sandbars. You can walk out seemingly half a mile or more.
So the tides are very drastic on the Bayside. You have an over 20-foot difference between high and low tide in the level of water. That is a huge tidal movement. So what's going to happen is these tides are going to move out so far, and you're going to be able to see like a half a mile in the distance.
People are dots in the distance that have walked out to the last tidal flat.
And then as the tide comes back in over the course of the next, 6 hours, just slowly, every, 15 minutes or so, you're going to notice, oh, a foot of sand is gone. And then before you know it, the water is all the way back up, like only 10 feet away from where you parked in the parking lot.
Yeah.
It's a pretty amazing experience.
And just wonderful for kayaking. There's no currents. It's just so safe for little kids. Great for swimming. It's also beautiful for photography because at low tide, when you have those tidal flats and you have those sandbars, the sand, depending on how windy it's been, the sand is very ridged and it's just lovely. It looks like a painting to some degree or another.
Now, another place that's great for kayaking is Nickerson State Park.
Excellent. So we went to Nickerson State Park 2 years ago. Awesome campground there. We recommend it in the Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations. And you have what are the bodies of water there?
The kettle ponds.
Crystal clear, nice water for swimming, gorgeous for kayaking. There's one that has a little beach. There's a bunch of kettle ponds in Nickerson State Park. I mean, there's like 9 or 10 or something like that.
Okay.
But one of them has a little beach you can sit on and you can just kind of relax and you can bring your kayak.
Rent.
You could rent or bring your – it was expensive to rent a kayak there. Mm-hmm. Bring your own kayak if you can. Lovely, lovely place for kayaking. Nickerson State Park is just magnificent and it really deserves a day of your attention or at least a half a day.
Now, what deserves a night of your attention is a game at the Cape Cod Baseball
League. This is a must. If you go to Cape Cod and you don't catch a game at the Cape Cod Baseball League, you're not getting the full Cape experience, in my personal opinion. I don't care if you like baseball or not. The Cape Cod Baseball League, it's a wooden bat league, and you get some of the best college players in the country who, after their seasons are over, they come out and play. And a lot of graduates of the Cape Cod Baseball League go into Major League Baseball. There's an incredible alumni list for the Cape Cod Baseball League. It's a wooden bat league. The games are free. They're all over the Cape and all the different towns. We've gone twice. We went this time to the Brewster Whitecaps. And last year we saw or 2 years ago, we saw the Harwich Mariners. A lot of times they're playing on elementary school fields, but some of the fields are very charming and beautiful, and you can get chowder there. You can make a donation, but it's free, and the quality of play is fantastic. And every seat is good. I mean, you are literally right smack there in the middle of the action. And I think that our boys enjoy a Cape Cod Baseball League game better than they would a Major League game because they are literally 7 feet away from the first baseman.
Yeah, they had a fantastic time at this game. We stayed till the very, very end. And, you just need to check the schedule and I'll link to the website in the show notes. But the thing is there's games being played
every night
all over the Cape.
Towards the end of August it ends.
Mm-hmm.
But for June, July, and you'll see signs as you're driving around the Cape, like, baseball game tonight, depending on what town you're in.
Firebirds are playing.
Yeah, and it's just a lot of fun. Grab yourself a t-shirt, get a cup of chowder, watch the game with your kids. You'll have a really magical Cape Cod evening.
Okay, now another evening event that'll kind of transport you back in time as well is the Wellfleet Drive-In Theater. There's actually still a drive-in theater, and it's only about 15 minutes away from Atlantic Oaks.
Yeah, if that. I think it might even be closer.
Yeah. So, in Wellfleet. So, they usually play 2 movies a night.
Finding Dory.
Yeah. There was Finding Dory, right? So, there's like more of a family-friendly option earlier on in the night. When I say early, though, it's 8:45 because it has to be dark.
It's gotta be dark for a drive-in.
And then there's a later one, like the 10:45, which sometimes is a little more of an adult fare. But if you want, you know, to bring your kids, or if you, you know, or if you even want to, like, remember back in time to when you used to go to a drive-in theater, that's a really fun experience.
Oh, yeah. And just, like, one of those little things out there on the Cape, that, like, where else do you get that experience? Also in Wellfleet, a top recommendation, and we talked about this on episode 4 way back when, is the Wellfleet Bay Wildlife Sanctuary run by Mass Autobahn. A magnificent place to bring children, a really great education center up at the front, and then all kinds of trails that lead out to the bay in the rear. And it goes through all, like, a variety of landscapes that almost represent every type of landscape there is on the Cape, in terms of you're going past ponds filled with frogs, you're walking through salt marshes, and then there's that boardwalk that takes you all the way out to the bay at the end.
There's a boardwalk hike that is only exposed during low tide, so you definitely want to check the tidal charts or call and they'll help you with that before you go, because if it's low tide, you can take the boardwalk all the way out and it's beautiful. High tide, the boardwalk actually gets covered and you won't be able to do the path. So there's a little insider tip for you on that.
Okay. Bring lots of water. It's exposed out there at the end, and if it's a hot day, the kids are going to get thirsty.
Yeah, I think it's, you want to find low tide in the morning. So I always look for when low tide is going to be in the morning, if it's going to be that way while you're visiting.
Right. Now, this time, Stephanie booked, and moving on past the Wellfleet Wildlife Sanctuary place, Stephanie booked a whale watching cruise with Hyannis Whale Watcher Cruises, and I had so much fun. It was
this
like
was
one
your
of,
first whale watching.
It was
experience.
My first whale watching experience, and it was honestly, I think, one of my 5 favorite things we've ever done with family travel. And you know, they say that Cape Cod's one of the 10 best places to see whales. Now, you had been preparing the boys all week for the possibility of not seeing a whale.
Well, it does
happen.
Like,
you might not see a whale. And I was talking to Dan, the manager at Atlantic Oaks, the night before. I just ran into him. I was bringing some garbage out to the dumpster, and I ran into him, and he said, "Oh, what are you doing tomorrow?" And I said, "We're going on a, you know, whale watching cruise, and you know, we're, you know, hoping that the boys see whales." And he said, looked at me and he said, "I 100% guarantee you will see whales." He said, "I've never heard of anyone going on one of these whale watching cruises in Cape Cod and not seeing a whale." And he said he was a boat captain for years and did these types of things, and they saw whales all the time. So how many whales did we see?
Over 20
whales. It was nonstop, and they came so close to the ship, and it was thrilling. It was exhilarating to me when they got that close to the ship.
Yeah, and I just want to stress, we took the 9 a.m. whale watching tour, and it was quiet. It was only about a quarter full. Now, we're also pre-peak, so when you get into the middle of July, that's not going to be the case if you take a 9 a.m. tour. But I guarantee you that the 9 a.m. tour was less crowded than later on that day. I think it was a 2 o'clock that went out. Just in our travels, we find time and time again, the earliest cruises, the earliest tours, the earliest everything, they're quieter. People do not get up early.
The boat was 25% full.
Yeah.
The captain said the boat was 25% full. So that enabled us to run from side to side, depending on what side the whales were on. Now, if the boat was full, I don't think you'd be able to do that.
No, you and wouldn't, because I've been on full whale watching tours.
Yeah, and I was very happy with some of the pictures that I was able to get of the whales. I was giddy, practically. And if the boat was 50%, 75%, 100% full, I think I would have had a really, really hard time nailing a couple good whale photos.
Yeah, the boys were blown away. Well, now, the reason why I chose the Hyannis Whale Watcher cruises over a couple of the other options was because in their literature and sort of in their advertisements, they really stress that they have a conservation angle to them. And I found that that really played itself out on the tour. They gave you a lot of education about the whales, a lot of history of
naturalist
whaling.
Naturalist on board. Yeah.
There was a naturalist interns on board from the whale and dolphin conservation, and they actually came around with like whale parts. So the boys were able to touch baleen. That was the first time I've ever touched baleen. She had baleen in her hand, and she was like showing it to the boys and teaching them about it, and that was really great. Also, I had been on a whale watching tour. I don't know if this was because it was a little bit in the past, but they put like the chum overboard to attract things, and they used the sonar to locate it. And they said, "We don't do that. We just look for blows in the distance. We look for backs. We look for birds."
The captain's like, "We are watching for whales."
Yeah, he's like, we're looking. And they said, we really stress, you know, finding the whales and being respectful of them. And, like, then they left after a little bit of time. It wasn't like we were going to sit there and harass the whales too long. They took us out to the Stellwagen Bank National Marine Sanctuary. So this is actually a marine sanctuary, and these whales are just feeding on tons,
everywhere,
literally tons of food every day in this sanctuary. So it was really a phenomenal experience.
Yeah. And like when, you know, you see sometimes pictures of the whales when they fully breach the water and they jump into the air, that supposedly happens more like in July and August. So we didn't want, a whale did do that, but I didn't see it. It was off in the distance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was taking a picture of a whale that was closer, so I missed that one. But that happens a little bit more in the summer months than even in June. Magnificent experience. There was a hot debate whether that was our favorite experience this time or whether it was Art's Dune Tour that we took out of Provincetown. So the family kind of, we debated a little bit about which was better and we couldn't come to agreement. So tell us a little bit about Art's Dune Tour out of Provincetown, which was also a phenomenal family adventure.
Yes, this is another one of those, you know, tourist companies that's been operating on the Cape.
Since the 60s, I think.
Yeah, I mean, for decades, and it's been in the family. And they have these Suburbans now. Who knows what they used to use, right?
Yeah.
But you pile in, you know, you make your reservations, you pile in.
And our family had a Suburban to ourselves, mm-hmm, with the tour guide.
Yeah.
Who was a great tour guide.
And off you head to the National Seashore Dunes, up by Race Point, all right? And they actually have a special, you know, permits that allow them to basically drive on this single track. It's like a single, you
right.
know,
and we couldn't road. Go to Race Point this time, though, because of
the sand.
Sandpipers?
Plover.
Sand plovers.
Plover. Piper.
Yeah, they weren't allowing.
Nesting plovers.
Nesting plovers. So they weren't allowing the dune tours to go out there. So we went into Truro and we explored the dunes there and we ended up on the beach there and saw the sunset on the beach there. It was absolutely beautiful. So it was such an adventure for the boys driving through the dunes, past those shacks, right? Mm-hmm. All those little
shacks.
The dune shacks that people live in.
Electricity, no running water, nothing, like no bathrooms, no sewer. It's all like, and you have to get dropped off by a dune, you know, car, and then they come and pick you up at the end of the week. You know, there's no car traffic.
So we drove all through those dunes, which the boys just flipped out. They thought that was phenomenal. And our driver was into photography, so she was more than willing to stop for me over and over again to grab some pictures. And then after we finished that, we went up to the beach. We pull up to the beach, and there are seals everywhere.
Hundreds
of seals 5 feet from the edge of the water. I mean, you could walk up and you're just looking right at their faces.
They're looking at you. They're like,
and they were
you?
Looking at you. And it was a magnificent evening. Beautiful sunset. We cracked open some ginger ales. Stephanie had a nice cold beverage. And the boys sat and played in the sand and got their feet wet and ran around. And it was a magnificent experience. I think it was Theo who said he liked it better than the whale watching because there was two parts. Because
mm-hmm.
he got to explore the dunes and then you had like the chilling
the beach,
out at the beach.
Yeah.
With the sunset. Max said whale watching. Am I getting it reversed?
Yeah, I don't know. You might. I think that you're right. I think that you're right.
I think Max said whale watching all the way
because we
saw so many
debated.
Whales.
So.
Now that I think of it, I think it was Theo who liked whale watching better because he was the one that kept emphasizing that he had counted 19 whales.
So Art's Dune Tours left out of Provincetown.
Right in the heart of Provincetown.
Right. So if you're going to do that, you might want to take the opportunity ahead of time, ahead of your tour, to explore the downtown area.
And we did, because somebody at Art's Dune Tour scared us about getting a parking spot. He's like, because the Portuguese festival is going on. He's like, you need to get here early and make sure you get parking. We got parking just fine. It would be a shame to go into Provincetown for Art's Dune Tours and not to explore Provincetown. I mean, Provincetown is filled with eye candy. There's like a very vibrant gay culture in Provincetown. There's live music. There's entertainment out on the streets. It's just a great place for people watching
the pier,
and soaking
so you can
in
go out
the
and see
piers.
The commercial fisher. You know, fishermen and their boats. There's the public library, which famously has a scaled model of a tall ship, mm-hmm. I think it is, inside a beautiful. beautiful children's library in children's area.
As we were walking around this time, and I was doing a little street photography, I kept thinking it was this really fascinating combination of like rustic and fabulous, like that kind of sea culture and that bay culture, but then also kind of this like glitzy nightlife culture as well. It was very colorful and neon and boisterous. So a real interesting combination of elements in Provincetown.
All right. So we once again ate our way through the Cape. And no matter who you talk to in Cape Cod, they are going to give you their own favorite seafood check. So no matter what picks we throw out there, somebody's going to say, oh no, so-and-so has better lobster rolls or so-and-so. But all we can say is that these were phenomenal.
Arnold's is one of the most famous. It's right by the campground. You could walk there from the campground or ride your bike from the campground. Really terrific hot lobster roll. The food at Arnold's is terrific. Some people, I would hate that some people might hate on it because it's so popular and so
famous, so
busy.
Yeah.
But the food is tremendously good. It is not cheap. It was a $100 lunch for
the five of us.
We each got a lobster roll.
And the boys, like Max had a crab cake that he loved.
Those crab cakes were top.
And the fish and chips was phenomenal too. Very
flavorful.
And
you said your beer was cheap.
And my beer was cheap. I said, well, that was a beer was a deal because it was like a pint for like $5.50.
When you're paying $20 or $22 for a hot lobster roll and you get a $5 beer, it seems like a bargain.
Yeah, go early. Get there at like 4:30 because you'll zip right through. In our experience, if 4:30, if you wait and you show up at 5:30, the line really starts to build.
And if the line is really long for ice cream, you will wait a long time for ice cream.
We waited longer for ice cream than for our lobster
rolls. They just got slammed. Yeah. So we waited longer for ice cream than we did for lunch.
Okay, now just up north a little bit is the Friendly Fisherman. And that is sort of like the rival, you know, like seafood
equally shack. Good for different reasons. And, you know, in a sense, I like it more because there's a playground there. There are benches for you to eat. And there's actually pretty much a full-on nice playground and, like, chalkboards and stuff. So the kids can really play and get engaged in some imaginative play while you wait for the food. So you don't have a bunch of bored kids sitting around.
Yeah. So, I mean, everything was good there, too. I like their chowder better than Arnold's chowder. I find Arnold's chowder a little thick, and I like the Friendly Fisherman.
But they didn't have the hot lobster rolls.
They don't. They have cold lobster rolls. Their crab cakes are very good, though, too.
Right.
So.
Now, my aunt, we went to Rock Harbor, which was an awesome place to hang out on the Bay Beach, a really fun place for the kids to explore. We got there at low tide again, and my aunt recommended Captain Cass's, which is right there. I mean, it's literally like you park, and it's right there.
You can't miss it.
Yeah, you can't. Miss it. It's like the only joint in town right there. And I think this was my favorite place because I got a fried scallop sandwich that floored me. I liked it better than my hot lobster roll.
It was so good.
And it was like $12 instead of $22. And I honestly and truly liked it more than my lobster roll.
The scallops were local, fresh scallops. But what they did, she explained, was they like actually cut them. Basically, it looked like they were in fourths. So the big scallops would be cut in fourths. She said they did that so they could cook them in less time and more evenly. And that's why they were so sweet and tender. And they really were. I was blown away by the flavor of those scallops. I also had these stuffed crab.
Ooh, those were good.
Crab
filling.
Shells.
You couldn't even finish them, girl.
No, I couldn't. They were so delicious and good. But that was a great place. Their chowder is different. It's really brothy, which I like.
And lots of seafood in it.
I really like the more brothy, not the like creamy. So that was really
This was a top pick. It was quaint. It was charming. It was Cape Cod all the way. So you have Rock Harbor there, Captain Cass's. And then I'm only going to talk about it for a second. There's a magnificent church right across the street from Captain Cass's. And you can go in and they'll show you around this church that's in the Benedictine tradition.
The Church of the Transfiguration.
Yeah, amazing church. Chapel, gorgeous artwork in there, a great 1-2-3 punch. Punch of Captain Cass's, exploring Rock Harbor, and the church.
All right. So, I mean, we had to pick and choose. Those aren't all the amazing places on the Cape, but they're definitely some highlights. And if you do these things, you will want to go back again and again to visit the Cape even more, right? So now, are you ready for 50 progressive adventures, which are unique attractions that must be seen but are off the beaten path?
I'm ready. If you're driving through the Bay State, be sure to check out Mount Tom Ruins in Holyoke, Massachusetts. The cliffs and slopes provide some of the most amazing natural beauty in the state, and the foliage in the fall can't be beat. Adventure awaits. with Progressive.
Oh, so I guess we have to go back in the fall for some foliage.
You know what? I think I do want to go back to New England in the fall for some foliage.
We always do. I know. We can't help ourselves. I keep
saying that this is our last big New England trip, and we're going to go, you know, to do something different next time. New England calls us back again and again and again. It's a magnificent place for an RV vacation, and Cape Cod may be our favorite place to visit in all of New England.
Absolutely, and we appreciate Cape Cod having us so much, and Atlantic Oaks just for being such a wonderful, hospitable campground for us to visit again.
You know who else I appreciate?
Who?
Our friends over at Jayco RV, who sponsored this podcast. And to view their complete line of RVs, head on over to jayco.com. And they have all the almost all the new 2017 models up on the website. So if you want to see what's new at Jayco, check them out at jayco.com. And thanks again to Progressive Insurance.
All right. And we will see you at the campground.
I'll see you at the campground.
Yes, you will.
I'm seeing you right now. Bye. At the campground, girl.
Happy travels.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.